Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Thessalonians 4, 7 and 8. The Bible reads, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit."
Blessing it is for us to be here. So thankful for all who are here on this morning. If you're visiting with us, I want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest. We're thankful for you being here. Also, you'll see the QR code that is behind me. If you want, you can point your device to the QR code and you'll see the notes that we will be looking at on this morning. We have been talking about holiness all month. It has been a good month of talking about being set apart, being different. And it is something that the Bible clearly teaches, how we ought to be a set apart people. And when we consider the pulpit and why we are supposed to preach, one of those reasons is to remind us of who we are and whose we are. And so when we consider today's lesson, I want us to talk about calling the world to holiness. Throughout the corridors of time, we have had God interacting with man. And when man would get to a point where he would not turn around, he would send a deliverer. Case in point, Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. His responsibility was to preach, and he taught, and he lived, and he built. And as Noah was preaching and teaching and building, the message must have been repent, turn. And the reason why is because God is holy, and God was going to bring forth wrath upon the world, and he did. We understand that he called men through the preaching of Noah to enter into that ark. But why? Because God was going to be flooding the world. He was going to be administering his wrath. And so people had to separate themselves from the world and enter into the ark of safety. You go down a little bit further in the corridors of time, you come across Moses. And we see the same idea. You see a separation between the people of God and the Egyptians. On one side, you have the light. On the other side, you have darkness. On one side, you have God speaking through Moses. On the other side, you have the rejection of Moses' words, the words of God. Next thing you know, we find God and he has the children of Israel at the Red Sea. Has Moses to put his rod into the waters and the waters part. And the Bible teaches us in Exodus 14 that that strong east wind came all that night and parted the Red Sea. And the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground. And the Bible teaches us in Exodus 14 and verse number 30, and the Lord saved Israel that day. What took place? A separation. Here you have the preaching, the teaching, the miracles of God, and you have people who made a conscious decision to follow after Moses, to follow after God. It's the same today. God is still desiring to call men and women, calling men and women out of the world, out of wrath. Because one day, God is going to send his son. The first time that God sent his son, according to John 3:16 and 17, it was to save the world. The next time that God sends his son, it will be Brother Royce to judge the world. And what God is designed to do, according to Romans 5, verse 8 and 9, he demonstrated his love that we may be saved by the blood of Christ from wrath. And the only way that takes place, men and women must recognize and realize that God sent his Son in order to save man from the wrath of God. Make no mistake about it, it is wrath. So one of the reasons why we had 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 17 and 18 read in our hearing is because God has called us to holiness. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel, those of us who have been baptized into Christ, those of us who are members of the Lord's church, those of us who said that I'm willing to follow Jesus, I'm willing to deny myself, those of us who did that was called by the holiness of God. And so when we consider some things as we have this fireside chat this morning, I won't keep you long. But when I think about calling the world, at one time, I myself was part of that world. At one time, I was called out of that world into a different place called the kingdom of heaven, called the church of our Lord, the church of Christ. The Spirit and the bride says, come, according to Revelation 22 and verse number 17. You think about that and you consider what an awesome, what an amazing invitation for the Spirit and the bride, the Spirit and the church to say, come this way. Come to Jesus, come to the Father, come to the kingdom, come to the truth, come to holiness. Come, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation 22, starting at verse number 12, here we come across the words of the Lamb, Jesus. And behold, I am coming quickly. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he will not come empty-handed. He says, my reward is with me. When the Christ comes back to meet those who are faithful in the air, he will not return empty-handed. He will return with a reward to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Notice what the Spirit tells John to write. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Friends, brethren, did you see that? Did you hear that? Did you put your eyes on that? What a blessing that God has given us the right to the tree of life. Sometimes I believe we think that we don't have a right to life eternal. We have a right to the tree of life. And notice what he goes on to say. And may enter through the gates into what? The city. The city that he is speaking of, friends, is in Revelation 21, verses 9 through the end of the chapter. Put that in your notes. That is that grand city, that city of four square, that city where God our Father is. We have something to look forward to. God has always given his people some type of incentive, some type of hope, something to look forward to. Here, notice what he goes on to say. But outside are dogs, undisciplined animals, sorcerers and sexual immoral, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those characters and characteristics will not be in that city, will not enter into those gates, have not kept the commandments of Almighty God, have no right to the tree of life. But notice what Jesus says. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you. These things in the churches, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely. Do you know our responsibility as members of the Lord's church is to actually be an invitation to the world, to invite the world to this magnificent place called the church in view of eternal life with the Father. Friends, what a grand responsibility we have. What a blessing it is for us as we are working in tandem with the Spirit of God, with the Christ, with the Father, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through verse number 9. What a grand responsibility and an awesome privilege that we have to actually invite the world to holiness. To invite the world to holiness. But how? Through the gospel message. The Bible teaches us in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14, that the gospel agent, or the agent that God uses, is the gospel. And no wonder Paul would say in Romans 1 and verse 16 and 17, turn your Bibles there. Look at those passages. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ. What is the good news? The good news is concerning the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. The good news is concerning the kingdom of God, Acts 8 and verse number 12, the church of our Lord. It is good news that the word of God became flesh, dwelt among men, tabernacled with us. God is with us, Emmanuel. What a great, great thing that God did for us by saying, I'm with you. I haven't left you as orphans. I haven't left you by yourself. And so here, God invites mankind by the gospel. God invites mankind by his holiness. God invites mankind into his presence. What a blessing. We love to be in the presence of people. And for some reason, we want to be in the presence of important people. But you won't find no one more important, Brother Jerry, than Jesus Christ. You won't find no one more important than God the Father. You will not find no one more important than our God to be in his presence. I want us to consider what Paul said again. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance from sin, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now notice verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Brother Mike, what are you saying? The power is in the gospel. For this reason, brethren, we are inviting people with the greatest power known to man, and that's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest message. And I believe for some reason we have dumbed down the message. We have dulled the message. We're not excited about the message. But you won't find a greater message that is over 2,000 years old and it still has the same power that it had when it was in the mind of God before he sent it out. You won't find it. And make no mistake about it, we had to say that it was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, because God foreordained Jesus to come in the flesh and to die on the cross long before time began. And God himself preached the gospel to Abraham. The first gospel message that was ever preached, God preached it to Abraham. And here we have, what an awesome privilege, to go out as the people of God and invite them with the greatest invitational message that anyone can ever utter from their mouth or listen with their ears, brethren. What a powerful message that we have. But why? Who is being invited? Who is being called? Why are we inviting people? The ones that are being called are those in the world, those who are unholy, those who are on the outside, friends, families, co-workers, associates, those who don't know Jesus. And make no mistake about it, brethren. If a person doesn't know the Lord and keep his commandments, they're on the outside. We don't say that with a smile, because God wants all men to be saved. God is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, with not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God wants men to repent, but why? Because God wants men to be holy. And so Brother Tobias, he wore a shirt on Wednesday night that God wants you to be happy, and it's crossed out happy. But God wants you to be holy. You know, God is more concerned about our holiness rather than our happiness. Amen. He is. Why? Because to be holy is to be set apart from sin. And so, turn to 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. And y'all probably going to think I'm crazy this morning, but I'm going to do you a big old favor, but I can't tell you yet. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, if you consider the text and you think about calling the world my responsibility as a Christian, and it's an honor, it's a privilege, and we're thankful to God that he allows us to be partakers of such a great message. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 and 16, notice what the Bible here communicates with us. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy. God says, for I am holy. Brethren, in this world that we have been called out of darkness, those of us who are Christians, we have been called to a grand place called Christianity. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're part of a kingdom that is not only upon the earth, but also in heaven. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. Can you imagine being part of a kingdom, part of a congregation, part of a church that is not just here on earth, but it's also in heaven, because this is a spiritual kingdom. This is a kingdom that is in the minds of men. This is a kingdom of righteousness and holiness and uprightness and separateness from sin. Friends, the one who has called us is holy. So he calls us by a message that is holy, to be a people who are holy. Why? Because he himself is just that. And so, God is calling the world to come. The question is how? If you will, point number one. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21, God is calling the world. the world through our belief in Christ. Which means that we have to be a people who have made up our minds to be sober, to rest our hope fully upon the grace of Almighty God. Question: do we truly believe that Jesus is our leader, our Lord, our Master? Do we truly believe that he is the one that calls the shots in our lives? Peter says this: therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, be aware, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice he gives us something to look forward to, but it's going to take place at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not right now. We have something to look forward to. And one thing I do know, that holy people have a hope. It makes sense why people take their lives, because they have nothing to look forward to that's worth any value. But Brother Ryan, we have something to look forward to. But we have to wait for it. And we have to gird up ourselves, and we have to be sober, and we have to have the right mindset. And notice what he says in verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lust, as in your ignorance. The implication there is that at one time, because you didn't know, you did certain things. But now that you do know, you do something different. And as the passages we just read, because God is holy, he has called us. He's called us by the gospel. He's called us to be like his son. He has called us to be like him. And he does this through the sanctification of the Spirit. Friends, it's no like thing to obey the gospel. It's no small thing to be baptized into Christ. It's no mediocre thing to be a member of the Lord's church. God has called us to be just like him. Look at verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves, behave yourselves, behave properly, behave in accord with the word. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in reverence, in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed. Now notice this, you were not bought back with corruptible things such as silver and gold by your aimless or vain conversation or lifestyle, but by the precious blood of Christ. Notice what we were bought with. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Friends, the purchase price and the purchase possession are of the same value. Do you know how valuable you are? Do we know how valuable we are that we have been redeemed, bought back with the blood of Christ? Where was that blood shed? On the cross. Friends, we are a valuable people. And because we're valuable, we need to be thinking about holiness as well. There's so many things that's going on around us. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves involved in certain things that are not in line with holiness. And Brother Tobias did an excellent job last week, demonstrating to us that God himself is the Holy One. And we ourselves are holy things of God. And so I was talking to him afterwards, and I said, it made me think about the Levitical system. And I said, you remember when King Nebuchadnezzar came in and he besieged Jerusalem and he took them, those captives to Babylon, and he took all of the articles of gold and the things that were inside of the temple, and he took those things to Babylon. Brother Royce, you remember he did that? And his son Belteshazzar did something very foolish. He had a banquet. He had a party. And you know what he and his people who was having this party was doing? They were drinking their wine from the things that was taken from Jerusalem, from the temple that belonged to God. The holy things. You can't use holy things in an unholy manner. And so that taught me something. God is the Holy One. We are the holy things. We ought to be using ourselves or allowing God to use us for his purposes. Question. Are you allowing God to use you? Ask yourself, am I really allowing God to use my time, my resources, my mind, my family, the things that God has blessed me with? Proverbs 3 and verse number 9, honor the Lord with your possessions. I had an older brother when I obeyed the gospel, and Evelyn and I just bought a car. And he said, man, I didn't know we just bought a car. That brother used the word we, and that threw me off. And I had to look at that brother, and I said, what do you mean by we? Yeah, when you buy something, we buy something. I said, you need to keep talking because I don't get it. When you buy something, you're using it for the glory and honor of God, and if someone else needs it, you ought to be willing to let them use it. Amen. That's true. Isn't it interesting when our brethren have need that we go into our resources and help those brethren? Because we understand that the things that we have, they actually belong to God. Point two. How do we call the world to holiness? They ought to be able to see us working with one another, helping one another, demonstrating great practices with one another, loving one another. But through our intentional separation from the unholy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. These are tough passages. However, the more that I considered heaven and being like Christ and wanting to see the face of God one day, Revelation 22 and verse number 4, keeping in mind that no one has ever seen God at all, Jesus Christ had to come down and declare God, had to reveal God, had to demonstrate to us his glory, John 1:14, John 1:18. The only way we know about God is that God had to tell us about himself. But one day, we'll actually get to see his face. One day, we'll actually be in his presence. But Brother Glenn, that requires God walking amongst us now. It requires God being in our midst now. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse number 11, notice what your Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse number 11. Here the Bible records, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our hearts is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, speak as to children. I speak as children, as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. The church is the temple of the living God. He's talking about us collectively. We are the temple of the living God. Now notice what God said. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, if we're going to be the people of God, brethren, this is so important, because if we're going to call the world to holiness, we ourselves must be holy, which means that I can't have one foot in unholiness and another foot in holiness. I have to make up my mind what side I want to be on. I have to make up my mind, what side I want my mind on, what side I want my mouth on, what side I want my family on, what side I want my business on. Hold on. What side I want my life on? And so notice what God says in verse number 17. If I'm going to dwell amongst you, if I'm going to be in your midst, if I'm going to be in your presence, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And notice this. He says, I will be a father to you. Who doesn't want God as a father? Who doesn't want Jesus as Lord? Who doesn't want the Spirit as the revealing of the Word that sanctifies us? He says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God loves us so much, friends, that he wants us to know that he can dwell amongst us so we can go out into the world and call them by the same message that called us. But look at verse 1, chapter 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us do some things. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's the body and the mind doing what? Perfecting holiness. I'm so thankful that God put that there. Brother Randy, because that tells me I can work on my holiness every day. Every day I can work on my holiness. Well, Brother Mike, I don't get it right every day. That's fine. Get it right today. Brother Mike, I didn't get it right yesterday. Did you repent? Did you confess? Get it right today. All we have is what? Today. There's the hope right there. I'm so thankful that he put that there. Perfecting holiness in the reverence or the fear of God. Friends, when you fail, when you sin, when you make a mistake, get up. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 24, verse 16, righteous man falls 7 times and he gets up. Don't wallow in it. Don't stay in it. Don't get so down that you say, I'm done with this. I'm done with the church. I'm done with holiness. I'm done with this. No, get up. That's the reason why Jesus came. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Romans 6. God is using us to call sinners, to call the world to holiness. Through our belief in Christ, through our intentional separation from the unholy, being intentional. I am on purpose. I'm doing this on purpose. I'm not accidentally doing what is right. I'm purposely staying away from that which is not right. But also through our understanding of God's grace. So I was asking myself, Mike, how are you going to end this? I'm going to end it on a very high note. Why? I thought those other 2 points were pretty encouraging. Yeah, but you can go even higher than what we just said. Look at Romans 6. Look at verses 15 through verse 23. If you consider calling the world to holiness, they themselves must see us as a people who are honorable, people who are honest, people who are holy. For this reason, friends, we have to do our level best to be a holy people and an honest people, an honorable people. And so in verse number 15, he says, what then, shall we sin because we are not under law? But under grace, under the law of Moses, but under the grace of Christ. He said, God forbid, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked, though you were slaves of sin. Now notice the past tense language. You were slaves of sin. Yet you have obeyed from the heart that form, that pattern of doctrine, of teaching, to which you were delivered. What delivers us? The grace of God, Titus 2 and verse number 11 and 12. What delivers us? The doctrine that God impresses upon our heart. This is why, friends, we have to be careful that we're not saying things that God has not said. Well, I asked Jesus in my heart. I said this prayer. No, here we are delivered by the doctrine of Jesus Christ. God impresses his word upon us, and that word teaches us how to go to the Father. And Jesus teaches us how to obey the Father. And no wonder he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Friends, the grace of God teaches me that I need to obey the gospel. I need to have my mind changed. I need to have God's word impressed upon my mind. And the more that I allow God's word to impress my mind, the more I think like his son, and the more I think like him, and the more we get along with each other because we all think like him. You can tell when folk are not thinking like Christ, they don't get along. You want to help your family? Think like Christ. You want to help the brethren? Think like Christ. Well, Brother Mike, you have too many examples of brethren in the scriptures that they don't see eye to eye, and they just had to part ways. But then I see Paul later on saying, bring John Mark. He's profitable. Which tells me that I'm not always thinking the right way, but I need my brethren to help me think right. I need God to impress upon me his will through his word. And the more that I allow that, the more I allow myself to be holy. Notice what he goes on to say. He says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more unlawlessness, now present your members as slaves of righteousness. For what reason? For holiness. So why do I even want to obey the gospel? Why do we want to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world? We want them to experience the same holiness that we're experiencing right now. So look at verse 20. For when you were, past tense language, slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, you obey the gospel. You're no longer thinking like someone who is running their own life in an unholy manner. And having become slaves of God. One thing we know about God, he's not a dictator. He's not going to mistreat us. God is holy. He will always treat us right. You have your fruit to what? To holiness. But it didn't stop there. God says, I'm not only going to bless your life here, but I'm going to give you something to look forward to. Even when the difficult days come as a Christian, and even though you're being persecuted as a Christian, and even though you're suffering as a Christian, you got something to look forward to. Paul, what do we have to look forward to? And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Brethren, I said all that to say this. If we're going to call the world to holiness, we have to do our level best to be holy ourselves. And God has given us all of these incentives. But we need to believe in Christ ourselves. We need to make concerted and intentional efforts to be holy ourselves. And we need to embrace the grace of Almighty God. Embrace the favor that we have as Christians. Embrace the Word of God and embrace those who have embraced the Word of God. Embrace them. I need help to be holy just like you need help to be holy. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? If at any time I can do better, I would hope someone would say, Mike, you can do better. That does not mean I'm in sin. That means I just need to do better. What's wrong with that? God wants us all to do better. But if I'm in sin, I need someone that's going to give me the opportunity to make things right. If I've sinned against my brother or sister, don't hold it in. Don't tell everybody else. Come tell me. Give me the opportunity. Brother Ryan said that in class this morning. It was perfect. We ought to give each other the opportunity to be holy. But why? Because the one who called us is holy. Therefore, be holy. Be separate. Be set apart. Because that holy one wants us to be those holy things. And as long as we're holy things, God will look down upon us with favor. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy God and Father, hallowed, set apart be your name. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that he revealed who you are. Pray to Father that you be patient with us, that we understand you and your character. Pray to Father that we'll repent and confess as members of your Son's church, and that we'll do all that we can to help our friends and families, co-workers, and those in whom we come in contact with to have opportunity to be called. We pray, Father, that we're not the stumbling blocks for those who are outside of Christ. Pray to Father that we can be more persistent and consistent and transparent. Father, we're thankful for the group that is here, the congregation that is here. Pray to Father that we'll always be mindful of the responsibility that we have to go out and seek and save the lost and to encourage one another in the most holy faith. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you're not a child of God, let us be standing. We want you to obey the gospel. We want you to consider, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ to be Lord and being buried in water for the remission of sins. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been living holy, therefore people don't see holiness in you. Therefore, people don't really have an urge or a longing to be like you. Well, let's stop that and let's go ahead and turn around now. And remember, God is faithful and just to forgive. Don't be so down upon yourself that you don't move forward. And as Jesus had more confidence in his disciples than they had in themselves, I still believe God has more confidence in us than we have in ourselves. Let's do what we need to do, and let's glorify God, and let's hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord," as we sing our Savior's invitation.